Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the show. Sports Hour with Dwayne Walker. Grit Patton is producing tonight's program. It is now officially Thursday. Thursday night football tonight, right? Who's playing, Pat, man?
The 1-0 Baltimore Ravens and 1-0 Cincinnati Bengals. One of them will be 2-0 after.
Yeah, the Ravens, they did a number on... you know what's wild? All right, so check this out. The Ravens play against the Bengals, right? Now, the Bengals did my team a favor by beating the Ravens last year in the final game of the regular season. So the Ravens, they took out their frustrations on us in week one by they just pancaking us.
That looked like a team
27-3.
that looked like a team that had a chip on their shoulder. Like they came out this season to prove something.
So that being said, the Ravens are going to be looking for sweet revenge on Thursday night when they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. That's all I'm saying. So I'm looking for the Ravens to win this.
Your Bills need to stop. Nathan Peterman, man, every time he gets out there, this happens.
Do you have any idea how demoralizing it is when you know your team is going to suck? Like, I know my Bills are going to win four games at the most.
I saw a great article that said Sean McDermott is trying to build the Carolina Panthers in Buffalo, and he has a scout who became his GM from Carolina with him. But he's trying to do it without generational talent like Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly. So they're building the Panthers without the actual talent.
Well, good luck with that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the program. First hour, we talked extensively about the Atlanta Falcons, et cetera, et cetera. And we're actually going to pick up the conversation at 12:22 when Wes Durham was on our air a little earlier on Wednesday with a little radio replay action. So can't wait to play that one for you. First hour, we talked also about Matt Ryan and the struggles of the offense and some of the moves that the Falcons have made despite three serious injuries, two definitely serious ones, Deion Jones being placed on the 8-week IR and Keanu Neal being out for the rest of the year with a knee injury. Deion Jones' injury is a foot injury while Keanu Neal's is a knee. Also, reports have it that Devontae Freeman has not participated. Running back Devontae Freeman has not participated in practices because of a knee situation. So we're still waiting to find out his status. And in the interim, the Falcons have gone out and signed running back Brian Hill. All right, so second hour of the program, as I mentioned before, we'll be joined by Wes Durham for Radio Replay. But we'll also sneak in some Braves action, have some WNBA news to pass along to you, which I teased just before. So congratulations going out to the Seattle Storm as they pick up a 98-82 victory over the Washington Mystics, and they sweep the Mystics to claim the WNBA championship. So congratulations going out to Sue Bird, who got it done, and Breonna Stewart, who just completely continues to dominate. This young lady, Breonna Stewart, and I have sort of a vested interest in it, covered her for a long time, and only player in the history of sports to win four national championships in college and also be voted as the most outstanding player in Final Four. She adds WNBA Rookie of the Year honors that she won. Also this season, she is a WNBA first team selection, and she also adds WNBA champion to her resume. Quite impressive. So congratulations going out to the young ladies. Washington Mystics, unfortunately, they don't get it done. Now, keep in mind, our Atlanta Dream actually faced the Mystic and lost in five games, a five-game series, 3-2. So that could have been us battling against Seattle for the WNBA Finals, but it didn't work out that way. And congratulations going out to Tiffany Hayes of the Atlanta Dream as she was named first-team WNBA. Kind of weird that she'd be named first team WNBA, but she got snubbed by the team captains as it relates to not being selected for the WNBA All-Star game. So yeah, there you have it. Just wanted to get you updated on that as well. Okay, so guess what the magic number is for our Atlanta Braves, who have been just dominating. But I got to tell you a quick story. All right, they beat the Giants 2-1 on Wednesday. And combined with the Philadelphia Phillies losing to the Washington Nationals 5-1, that gives the Braves a 7.5 game lead in the NL East. Braves are 82-64, 18 games, if my math is correct, 18 games above 500. That's phenomenal. And they are 45-30 away from SunTrust Park. That is just outstanding. Outstanding. All right, but check this out, though. Anybody else out there get caught out there like I did today? So I'm at the house, right? And I'm like, yes, I'm going to catch this nap. And then when I get up, I'm going to watch the Braves game at 3:45. So I take my little nap. I wake up. Clock says 4:08. I'm like, oh, man, I don't miss this. I don't miss his at bat, man. I don't miss the oh, Lord. Help me out, Pat. Who's at bat did I miss? Yeah, I missed Ronald Acuna Jr.'s at bat. So I'm gonna live it. So I'm searching, man. I go to the guide. I'm like, okay, MLB. Okay, I'm hot. MLB, I see it. Okay. Where's that? I could not find the Braves game. What went on? See how spoiled we are? Let me guess. The powers that be wanted to force me to go to some little stream situation, I guess. I guess I could have got it somewhere else, right? I'm sure the game was available somewhere, just not on my cable provider. What the? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
It was available on Facebook Live.
Huh?
They're broadcasting Major League Baseball games. They pick various games through the week to put on Facebook Live.
And that was one of them?
That was the only way to watch the game today.
So wait. So it was like a flex? Was this like the equivalent of a flex?
No. They just went ahead and decided that was the Facebook Live game.
Okay, great. Yeah. Whatever. So why isn't the game on television where I can see it on television? Like I see every other Braves game.
Because I'm guessing that the Fox Sports in town were running either coaches' shows for college football or for the umpteenth time Chipper Jones Driven is my next guest. I don't know.
Hey, keep talking. My headphone piece fell out until I hook it up. Keep talking, Pat, man.
It's just something you have to get used to. when you actually look at the schedule.
Okay.
Is basically that the game was going to be on Fox Sports Southeast.
Oh, so it was supposed to be on Fox Sports South.
But it was on Facebook Live.
So wait, I'm confused. I thought you just said it was supposed to be on Fox Sports South. Because I looked on Fox Sports South and didn't see it. I looked up and down.
I'm saying that it was probably supposed to be, but they moved it to Facebook Live and didn't bother to put anything out other than maybe a press release that you didn't see.
Now that's some bullshiggity. That's some bullshiggity. It is, man. It is. Now, I must admit this. Now, I checked out my man Jerome Jurinovich. I watched him and Brian Jordan the night before. It was like a late night game, and I was watching these cats late at night. And Jerome says, "Yeah, we'll be back on Friday." I think that's what he said. I think he said, "Yeah, we'll be back on Friday." And I'm like, "Okay, Friday. All right, that's kind of weird." But he didn't say that the game was not going to be on tomorrow. So I thought Jerome was just talking about himself personally. You know what I'm saying? That he wasn't going to be there until Friday. Or that maybe they weren't going to be there Friday until Friday, and the game was going to be like on, you know, MLB Network or on ESPN or something like that. There's no mention of Facebook Live. No mention. So I felt a little bit jilted. I felt jilted and didn't know what to do. So I prayed and prayed and prayed that the Braves won. And they did, 2-1. So let me ask you a question then. If I want highlights of it, what do I have to do? I have to go on Facebook? Like, what would you do? Like, if I want to see the game, how can I see the game now, after the fact? What recourse do I have?
You can go to any basic sports site and probably find highlights to watch.
No,
or...
I don't want highlights. I want the whole game. I could probably go on my stick and find it. Could I think I go on my stick and find it?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I know replays usually exist on all apps. I know that.
Okay. All right, so I got that out. That's all I wanted to say about that. But congratulations, though, seriously, going out to our Atlanta Braves, man. I'm just over the moon with what's going on with the team. Went out west, 6-1 on the West Coast trip. Swept the San Francisco Giants. I mean, when's the last time that happened? You got to go back like 6 or 7 years. I think I want to say 2011.
Yeah, 2010 actually.
2010? Man, that's...
How interesting is it going to be for the Phillies to be here for the final series and this thing might be wrapped up?
Oh, I hope it is wrapped up by then. It hopefully won't be any interest whatsoever. And then that way I might be able to actually go to a game where there's no actual pressure. You know what I'm saying? So there it is, Pat. Pat, have you gone out there yet to SunTrust this year?
I would have went out for the Pirates series, but that was about the time the Pirates unloaded their team, so I just kind of didn't go and protest.
Well, listen, the Phillies, they're in Pennsylvania also with the Pirates. Maybe we should go to a – would you go to a – would you entertain going to a Phillies game?
No. They're in the Phillies more than likely will be playing playoff game to get into the wild card playoff game is where the Phillies will be.
Well, I don't know, because listen, man, the Washington Nationals, they've got 74 wins along with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm sorry, Phil, the Washington Nationals have 74 victories along with the Philadelphia Phillies. Excuse me, I know we're just talking about the Pirates, so I had Pirates on the brain. So there's no guarantee that the Phillies are going to be in that position, dude.
I just want the Braves to get in there and play the Dodgers or play the Cubs. That's what I want to see.
The Dodgers or the Cubs?
Because either one of them, if they actually take them out, will put the Braves exactly where they need to be, which is an NLCS opportunity. But in my opinion, I think whoever comes out of the American League is going to win it no matter what.
Oh, yeah. The American League is
just too stacked. It's the Boston, NFC. It's the NFC.
Dude, the Boston Red Sox, they've already gotten 100 victories already. On Wednesday night, they picked up their 100th victory of the campaign already. And there's still, like, a bunch of games to go. So that's really impressive when you think about it. All right, man. Man, break time already? Golly. Back to our Falcons, man. West Durham, play-by-play voice of our Atlanta Falcons. That's heard right here on the flagship station. Was on our air earlier. We'll have that radio replay for you next, man. It'll be insightful. Make sure you stay tuned for that. You're listening to Sports Job with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio.
Our man, Big Wes Trueham. Wes, how you doing today?
I will say that Hey Man Ale has a lovely price point as well.
Yes, it's a craft beer, Wes. Thank you very much.
Excellence costs money, Wes.
It does. You pay for.
A very affordable price point for something with Mike's face on it.
Thank you.
I think it's very true. Hey, let me start with this. Coming off of what you saw and what Falcon fans saw against the Eagles, obviously there are some things we've got to get corrected. In your mind, sure. It may not be what Mike and I think are similar things, but in your mind, what do you think the number one thing is that they've got to get right heading into Sunday?
Well, I think they have to be more – I think they have to have the ability, obviously. The red zone thing goes without saying. Let's start there, okay? They got to be better in the red zone. That's number one. Beyond the red zone, to me, I think they've got to have the ability to be more balanced offensively. We can't have a football team that at the end of the day doesn't run it very well and relies on Ryan throwing it, you know, anywhere from 15 to 18 yards downfield to try and get Julio Jones on the move, if that makes sense. All right. You can't just have a bailout passing game because you can't run it. You've got to be efficient in the run game and make something happen in the run game. And honestly, I thought last Thursday night, the ills of the run game were part and parcel one of the bigger problems they had.
And, Wes, we talked to Brandon Fusco. We played a soundbite earlier where I said, is it simply a matter of just doing your job and manning up? And he goes, yeah, that's exactly what we got to do. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're going to go find some other offensive lineman out there. Our team is here. So, I mean, what about pass protection in the run game? And, you know, Devontae, we're not sure what his status is. He didn't practice today. Brian Hill is brought in. Is he brought in, you think, to maybe beef up the pass protection?
Well, I think Brian Hill's been brought in to cover a couple of different areas. I think if they end up, you know, and I could be totally wrong by the time we get to Sunday at 1 o'clock on this, Mike, but if Devontae Freeman can't go, I think you're looking at Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith on Sunday. And Brian Hill's brought in to be the special teams guy. You know, he is just back with the team at the end of camp. Now, he spent all last year in preseason with the team and then bounce back and forth a little bit, practice squad to active roster during the year. But I can't imagine that Brian Hill, if he plays from scrimmage, it'll be a very, very small package given that he's just come back with them. To me, I think if Devontae is unable to go, we're talking about Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith on Sunday against the Carolina defense that, you know, obviously is has had some issues the other day, not as many as offensively they're going to have without Greg Olsen, without Darrell Williams. You know, and they're looking to try and be a vertical throw team. They haven't really established anybody to go north on them in the pass game. So it's going to be an interesting ball game regardless because both teams are missing some personnel for sure.
We're talking to the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham, here on Dukes and Bell, and picking the brain of the voice as we prepare for the Carolina Panthers. Wes, I know you started your preparation. There were a couple of things that stood out to me against the Cowboys last week for Carolina, and they grinded one out and were able to win, but they got massive pressure, you know, on Dak Prescott, and he was under duress pretty much the entire afternoon. That concerns me a little bit heading into this game, knowing how they got after Dak.
Absolutely, Carl. I think that's a very fair point. I think that, you know, but these two teams also know each other pretty well. Despite the coordinator changes, and there have been all three coordinators have been changed now in Charlotte with the Panthers, these teams still know each other's skill set pretty well. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the early moments of the game play out because Atlanta will have to have some major momentum now. I mean, you don't play the way they played last Thursday night and come back to this. You got to come back with a new plan of attack and a new attitude and a want to. And Brandon Fusco probably hit it on the head when he said man up because that's probably the best way to put it. And I think Atlanta has to show a lot of that on Sunday against the Carolina team who knows that a win this early, you know, in a division game like this would count 1.5, to be honest with you. I mean, it really would. I mean, you know, Tampa kind of set the table for Carolina last week. You know, right. Tampa beating New Orleans to start the season makes the winner of this ball game in a little bit better shape. And now with Carolina beating Dallas, you know, and to kind of take your question full circle here, this ball game now has a premium on it that it didn't have last Thursday night after Atlanta lost. It had it Sunday night after Carolina won and Tampa beat New Orleans.
It is Wes Durham, guys. Ian Arch with the Call of Course right here on your home of the Falcons, 92.9 The Game, 1 o'clock on Sunday from the Benz. Yeah, man, they've got issues on the line. We talked about it. You mentioned the tackle, and now Trey Turner is in the concussion protocol at right guard. So hopefully a chance to see, you know, Vic Beasley. And I asked Dan Quinn. He said he was happy with the performance. Obviously he wants more sacks, but he thought Vic set the edge in the run game. I know fans have been asking, you know, where's 44 in the heat on the quarterback?
Well, I think Atlanta did a pretty good job defensively the other night. The issue that Atlanta faces defensively now, guys, is fairly complex because their two best tacklers from the last 2 years are going to miss, you know, the balance of the season. Keanu obviously is on the shelf the rest of the way, and then you get a scenario with Deion where it would be, what, mid-December before he's able to come back at the earliest. So, you know, the Falcons have to be not only pressuring the quarterback, Mike, they've got to be sure tacklers now against the run. They've got to be sure tacklers in the pass game. I mean, Atlanta will have to go and kind of take the brotherhood, and it's being tested. The brotherhood is now completely in test mode because, you know, it's not just it's easy to say the next man up. It's harder to be the next man up. But DeMonte KZ, who impressed us all in the preseason, certainly becomes a factor in this. Duke Riley's got to play better. You know, you've got Devondre Campbell needs to take on more of a leadership role. And, oh, by the way, you certainly want more pressure on the quarterback.
Wes Durham joining us, guys, talking Falcons, Carolina, as we get you ready for Sunday's matchup. The preparation for that matchup started really today as they start to what we call install, and that is put in a game plan for Carolina. Wes, as you look at specifically, you know, our skill guys.
Right.
I'm looking at Calvin Ridley, and I thought he might be involved a little bit more. Now, we know how this goes, right? I mean, the season plays out. And maybe you don't use him early on. Maybe he gets more run in the middle of the season or maybe even late. Or is this a factor, do you think, that Sark is still trying to figure out maybe how he wants to use him, or was this just a function of the game?
Carl, that's hard for me to answer, but I'll say this. I don't think we can get too deep in the minutiae of what they're trying to do offensively after one game and based on the offensive performance we saw.
Okay.
You know, I think a little bit of this, you know, it's funny. I just went through this a week or so ago with college football. You know, it's like after the first game with Miami, everybody wants a referendum on Miami, you know. And went last Friday morning or Friday afternoon, I'm sure you guys dealt with people that wanted a referendum on the Falcons right away. You know, the reality of it is Calvin Ridley's pro career is one game old. I think he's going to have an incredibly bright future. I thought Dave said it very well in the preseason. He has a great poise for understanding where he is on the field. Atlanta ran into a combination of self-inflicted problems the other night with penalties and, oh, by the way, a really good defense. I mean, a really good defense. That's as good a front as the Falcons may see all year, and it just didn't happen. They didn't build any momentum. And when they did build momentum, they, you know, got down in the red zone, and everybody knows what transpired there. It was frustrating. It was disappointing. It was, you know, pull your hair out kind of deal. So I think Calvin Ridley is going to develop as the season goes on. He's not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. And I think one of the things that's going to help Calvin Ridley is that poise that he played with and showed us in the preseason for sure.
Right. And DJ Moore, it was not a factor for Carolina, a guy that was actually drafted ahead of him at wide receiver out of Maryland. Wrapping up with Wes Druham, our man Wes Durham from Stately Durham Manor. What do you got this weekend?
I've got Pittsburgh and Georgia Tech at Heinz Field, which I think will stay on the slate. The ACC just moved Clemson from a 3:30 to a 12 o'clock kick on Saturday at Frank Howard Field, in addition to the ball games that have been shelved. And South Carolina just canceled about an hour ago their ball game with Marshall. So Hurricane Florence is having her way with the college football schedule. There's no question about that.
Right. Again, Georgia Tech fans, I know you miss Wes on the call. It's always great to hear the old voice of the Jackets doing his thing, so check that out for sure. And, hey, man, have a great call with Arch, man. And, boy, Wes, it's always darkest before the dawn. Hopefully we get things turned around. We're talking about a lot of points
Mike,
on the board.
Mike, it's a home game. I want you to pace yourself, okay?
You know what? I got to be honest with you. The amenities at the 300 level are very impressive. There's liquor everywhere.
Carl?
Yes?
Counting on you.
I'm here. I'm here for you, and I'm here for everyone. Wes, man, take care, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. See you soon. Thanks again.
Those guys have too much fun, man. Those guys have too much fun. Thanks a lot, Wes Durham. Dukes and Bell, a little radio replay action for you. 12:30, man. Straight up 12:30 here on the flagship station of Atlanta Falcons, Hawks, Atlanta United FC, Sports Radio 92.9 a game. Hey, can't forget about Georgia State football. That's right. How about Georgia State, man? You're listening to Sports Job with Dwayne Walker. Greg Patton is producing tonight's program. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to continue our conversation involving our Atlanta Falcons, man. I got to admit, even though it's only one game, all right, and there's no reason to hit the panic button. No reason to hit the panic button. But, when you consider all offseason, you know, from the playoff game last year up until last Thursday, there were certain things that we were looking at. I know that I was looking at, trying to make sure that the Falcons focused in on and improved, all right? And in each of those categories, I can honestly say there was no improvement. Case in point, one of the deficiencies that we had as an offense or as a team, okay, I'll just start with the team concept first, was obviously scoring in the red zone, which we did not do, 1 of 5, and you know, with chances inside the red zone. And not only that, special teams. Now, I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's just me. But I do not have any confidence whatsoever in our return game, in our kick return game, in our punt return game. And I know we had some fancy smanchy stats from last year about what Andre Roberts did last year. And by the way, he returned a touchdown for the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. didn't he turn a punt or something for the Jets this past weekend? I believe he did. But that was an issue, okay, to me. We had 2 returns for 11 yards. That's not going to get it done. And the other one, who did we draft? Who was our first-round draft choice? Calvin Ridley. How many balls did he catch? He didn't catch any. That was a concern. So we go out, we get this high-prized, highly anticipated rookie to come in. No attempts. I mean, he had a couple of targets, but no catches, right? And then on offense, we talked about another concern being the tight end game. Would Austin Hooper step up with the rest of the tight ends step up? Caught three balls for 24 yards. I guess three balls is better than no balls whatsoever. But my point being, those are just three areas that it's just very tough to watch. Meanwhile, defense doing their thing. You got to love what the defense is doing. Defense have been holding it down for the past several regular season and playoff games. They just have. That's the bottom line. And the offense has not done their job. And when you look at the ledger, the economics of it, the boys on the offense, those are the guys that are getting the big dough. Those are the guys that are getting paid, right? Running back got paid, right? Julio got paid, right? The right tackle got paid. I'm sorry, left tackle got paid. Excuse me. Matthews got money, right? Matt got money, right? So come on, man. If I'm on the defense, let's be honest. If we're in the locker room and the team is studying, I know they have the brotherhood, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're on the defense, are you not looking at the offensive side with a side eye like, what's going on? Can we get it together? But like I said, am I optimistic? Absolutely. First game of the season, you had a stiff test on the road. You lose 18-12. You didn't get blown out. You just didn't get it going on offense. And with friendlier confines coming up this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, a team that's also banged up, right? We talked about our losses with Keanu Neal not being available on the IR for 8 weeks. We talked about, and I'm sorry, Keanu Neal being gone for the season, excuse me, Deion Jones being on the IR for 8 weeks. And we talked about Devontae Freeman being a question mark. Well, the Carolina Panthers, they have their issues too. Their tight end, Greg Olsen, he's done for the year. He's out. And who else is done? Who am I missing, Pat? They're also missing somebody pretty major from, Keekly. The linebacker is not a given. Has he officially been ruled out yet?
Not yet.
Not yet, but I would not be surprised if he did not play.
And pay attention to if Carolina wins that game, that would mean they're 2-0. The last five times the Panthers have been 2-0, they've made the playoffs or they've won the division.
Oh.
So,
a little sad,
remember the Saints get the Browns this week.
Oh, yeah. That should be a good game. I activated Josh Gordon on my fantasy team. Hey, I kicked butt this weekend, man. I won. I'm 1-0, man. I got a pretty nice team, man. Alvin Kamara is a running back of mine. Joe Mixon. Coop is one of my receivers. Cup is one of my receivers, excuse me. Devontae Adams is a receiver of mine. Oh, yeah, man. I got some potencies. Fletcher Cox is one of my defensive players. Oh, yeah. All right, but listen, man. The Falcons are supposed to be fast, right? We talked about how fast the Falcons are, physical, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is the Falcons are slow. Slow, slow, slow. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what slow, slow, slow means. S-L-O. You listen to Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Stick with me.
Quarterback and 100 things go to your head like, oh snap, what I do now? No, just playing. It's not. I mean, it's just adjustments that you got to make, man. I mean, can't crowd was built, man. You know, it's adjustments you got to make.
Sports Radio 92.9 Again, Grady Jarrett talking about how to get a legal hit on the quarterback. Hell, he don't know. Nobody knows. You breathe on him, I guess. You push him down. Even if you push him down, that could be, you know. That could be misinterpreted as roughing the passer. You just never know. Welcome back to the program, Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker, 12:45. So glad you could be with the program, listening from wherever you are. We're going to continue our Atlanta Falcons conversation. Now, before the break, I said the Falcons are. They've been advertised as being fast and physical, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm here to tell you the Falcons are slow, 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 my friends. S-L-O. No, for real. I'm going to back these numbers up. Back what I'm talking about up. All right. And I'm just being facetious here. The Falcons are actually pretty fast. But when I say slow, here's a stat put out by NFL.com as it relates to all NFC teams. All right. As it relates to our Falcons compared to all other NFC teams. Slow. When I say slow, the S stands for shortest. Do you realize the Atlanta Falcons, their average height of their players is 6'1". 6'1". And that's good for shortest in the National Football Conference, in the NFC. Okay? When I say slow, that's the S for short. The L is for lightest. Do you realize that the average weight of an Atlanta Falcon football player is 239 pounds? 239 pounds. And that, according to NFL.com, is the lightest average weight per player in the NFC. In the NFC, not the NFL, not the entire NFL, but the NFC. Slow. S for shortest, L for lightest, and O, and this might be surprising, at 26.8 years of age, the Atlanta Falcons are the oldest team in the NFC. Now, that's a little shocking to me. So slow, shortest at 6'1", L, lightest, 239 pounds average weight per player. O, oldest, 26.8. I guess that's where the acronym I came up with for slow. That's a fascinating statistic. Is it not? Surprise me. Pat, good work on that, man. Pat dug that up. Found it on the NFL.com website. And, man. But at the same time, man, when you hear head coach Dan Quinn talk about we like the size of this player. We like this. You know, Dan Quinn talks about liking length. But keep this in mind. Just because a guy is light don't mean he ain't long, right? Just because he's short don't mean he ain't long. Just because he's old don't mean he ain't long. So I guess when we hear our coaching staff, when you hear Dan Quinn talking about how he likes the size of a player, I think he made that comment about Pat. Who did he make that comment about? Wasn't Coach talking about? Who did he make that comment about? The new defensive lineman we got, Stephen Mean. I think he talked about. I think Dan Quinn talked about how he likes the actual size of the player. Let's see if I can find that one. Okay, maybe I can't right now. But yeah, those are some fascinating stats to me, man. 6'1". 239 pounds, and 26.8 years of age. All right. How about this one? And I'm not normally a stat guy, but and the producer of the program knows that. Pat knows I'm not a stat guy. I don't like talking stats. I like talking turkey. I like talking about the games, the strategies, the players, the human nature, stuff like that, not so much numbers. But when he provides some stuff that's appealing to me, I definitely want to pass it along. Here's a good one right here. All right. So we talked about one of the about the Falcons being fast, not slow, as it relates to the distinct ability of this defense to get from sideline to sideline. And one of our fastest players on defense was Deion Jones. Of course, Deion Jones is out with a foot injury. He's on the 8-week IR, so we can't expect him back. Don't expect him back until week 10 of the season, which will be against the Dallas Cowboys, Sunday, November 18th. Here's a stat dug up by Greg Patton. Do you realize that Deion Jones, linebacker, and Keanu Neal, safety, who's out with a knee injury, he's done for the year. Keanu Neal and Deion Jones covers 47% of all opposition's passing plays that are targeted for running backs. Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. So what does that mean? That means guys like Demonte Kazee and Duke Riley and I would presume DeAndre Campbell makes up a lot on coverage as well. Although Campbell mostly covers tight ends out of the backfield, if I'm not mistaken. But what does that mean? That means 47% of that's going to have to be covered by Duke Riley as well as Demonte Kazee, who's going to be filling in for Keanu Neal for the rest of the way. I thought that was a fascinating stat. And keep in mind, man, Falcons have been doing a phenomenal job on the defensive side, especially the corners. And despite the, you know, the little penalties that they call, I think they called a couple on Trufant on Thursday. But Alford, if you ask me, Alford has been just really rock solid, man. He's been solid. You don't agree? I mean, going back to the, I think what really set him off and put him on, man, was that return for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Ever since then, man, I think last year he had a good season. Thursday had a good game. To me, he's like one of the stars on the defense in the backfield. Real talk.
He needs to hang on to the ball. He's had interceptions thrown his way. Other than that, he's been a pretty good corner, and he's 2 years removed from leading the league in pass interference penalties. So he's been very much on the way up.
Yeah, no question. And, that's a good thing to see. So I'm not worried about the defense, man. I'm not even worried about losing the two guys that we lost in Deion Jones and Keanu Neal, because this team definitely has depth, right? They have depth, and that's something that you can be comforted in. Now, of course, some of us micromanage the tape when we look at it, and Patton was telling me, oh, this guy didn't play that well on tape, called a couple people out, and I was rather shocked that he would actually go to those lengths to actually, you know, call cats out and say that they that they didn't look good on tape. All right, so I'll tell you who didn't look good on tape to me, that who was having an issue. It looked to me like Vic was having an issue getting at the quarterback. Are you shaking your head? You're disagreeing with that? You're disagreeing with that?
I think I had this conversation with you in the bullpen. When Vic was back there, he was doing fine in winning his matchups, and his speed rush looked good.
What?
But what they did to Vic was they continually dropped him into pass coverage on third down, and that's not Vic's game.
Listen, man, I saw Jacob Peters out there dominating folks. That's what I saw. I saw their left tackle. I saw their tackle out there, really all their linemen, really dominating people. And although I wasn't intimidated at all by their passing game, by their passing attack, to me, their passing attack was kind of weak, if you ask me. But Jay Ajayi ran hard. Now, that's a guy who runs hard. I can appreciate his game. Scored a couple of touchdowns for the Philadelphia Eagles. But besides Ajayi and Aguilar catching some balls, some meaningless balls, I mean, they were just, you know, dinking and dunking or whatever. So he didn't impress me. I mean, the Philadelphia offense didn't impress me, other than Jay Ajayi and that offensive line. Peters did a nice job in the run game. But aside from that, man, what did they do?
Peterson does what he always does. He play calls great on third down, and he puts his guys in position to run routes where you get Zach Ertz wide open on the field because the Falcons are dropping back with pass rushers into coverage.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Zach Ertz didn't do that much on. He didn't do that much on in the game.
The run schemes that they called were fantastic against the Falcons' smaller front. They used it all through the game. When they needed a first down, they got it. That was the difference in the game.
Sports Radio 92.9 game. It's 6 minutes to the top of the hour. 6 minutes to the hour of one. Time's really racing by here on the program. When we come back, guess who had a little challenge out going out to anybody that wanted to quote-unquote shoot him up in the gym, that is. Gilbert Arenas. Sports Radio 92.9 again. Welcome back to the program. Now, listen, this is one of your more wacky stories, if you will, but a cool story nonetheless. Anybody remember Gilbert Arenas? Who was, I guess, in essence, blackballed from the NBA because of a little gunplay action, allegedly. Like how I put that in there, allegedly. Well, check this out. Nick Young, former Los Angeles Laker and Golden State Warrior, a.k.a. Shaggy P, he challenged the retired Gilbert Arenas to a shooting contest for $100,000. So check this out. So the other day, Arenas took him up on the challenge and actually showed up at the gym with a pair of shoes and a bag stuffed with $100,000 in cash. And he actually dumped the money on the court for everybody to see. The only problem, guess who didn't show up? Nick Young did not show up. But here's where the story gets good. After waiting around for a minute, actually a while, Arenas was like, man, bump this. I'm just going to put these shots up anyway. So check this out. Gilbert Arenas, he proceeds to shoot 100. He attempts 100 three-point shots from various points beyond the NBA three-point arc. Any guesses on how many he made out of 100? Pat, would you like to take a guess? Now, the average player is going to shoot probably about, 38%, 40% from three.
You said 300?
No, he shot 100 three-pointers. Guess how many he made?
65.
Well, you're close, because if you were to, you got the five right. Now just invert the six, flip it upside down, and make it a nine. 95 three-point baskets out of 100. 95. And it's on video. I saw the video. Very, very impressive. It stopped the music. That's how impressive it was.